You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're smack bang in the middle of Royal Ascot. We're going to look ahead to Day 3's action on this edition of the podcast. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio. Myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Ross Briley and Tom Morley. We've got plenty to look forward to, including the Ribblesdale and the Ascot Gold Cup and much more to look forward to on the card on Thursday. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Tremendously well. Enjoying the great British summer of 2015, or is it 17, should I say?
17, yeah.
The sun's got to me already for those past 3 days. And as we record on the Wednesday afternoon, it's been announced that this is the hottest 21st of June on record.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just wish they were saying it's the hottest the pin has been. Ever.
Well, hope they'll be saying that after the podcast when you've put four nice winners.
I hope so as well, but I should think that the thunderstorms are now gathering already as we speak.
It has been quite a start to Royal Ascot, hasn't it? Baking sunshine, obviously the people in their morning suits and their fancy dresses. Great scene as always. Track records being broken as well. Fast times, quick ground. It's been quite an emphatic start to the Royal meeting this time around.
Absolutely brilliant start, brilliant start. The ground was obviously quick. 3 track records went in succession. And again, I can see track records going again over the next few days as well, because obviously if the forecast is right, it's going to continue to keep drying out, even though the watering overnight, as the day goes on, with the temperatures being so high, certainly going to dry out. And again, great to see Godolphin, to be fair, get 3 winners on the score sheet yesterday, simply because they are a superpower and we do need them. And it's very, very important that they have success and eat at the top table now and again.
Yeah, they had a very good start to the meeting, of course. The boys in blue doing well at Royal Ascot so far. We'll see if that continues as we go. And we're going to look at Thursday's racing with Mr. Pimlott to my right-hand side here. We're also going to hear from Andrew Thornton and Sir Anthony McCoy at Ascot. They've previewed previewed all of Thursday's racing for us. If you want to see them in their morning suits, top hat and tails and all that, stood in a gloriously sunny Ascot, then you can go to williamhill.com, click on the horse racing pages there. You'll find those videos on the right-hand side of the page, and you can also look out for them on Twitter. At William Hill is the Twitter handle, and you'll be able to see AP and Andrew Thornton at Ascot. We're going to focus on the action in the studio, looking at the first 4 races on the card. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts and his bets for Day 3 of Royal Ascot next. We start with the 2:30 on Thursday, which is the Norfolk Stakes, to kick off proceedings on day number 3. The market headed by McKerrin at the time of recording this at 7-2. 6-1 for Santry. Havana Grey 8-1. It Don't Come Easy also 8-1. As is True Blue Moon. We've got Frozen Angel next in the market at 10s. Bit of a trim there from 12s. 10-1, 9 below 0. Consequences and Cody Time, along with Sioux Nation, are all 14-1. And it's 16s bar those. McKerrin, to start with, Pimmy. Interesting runner, trained by Wesley Ward, and we know how his speedsters tend to get on at Royal Ascot. You expecting him to get another winner here?
Well, I mean, the filly yesterday was absolutely out of this world, wasn't she, Lady Aurelia? This obviously comes from the same camp. I don't know too much about the jockey David Flores, to be fair, but again, you know, he more than likely ridden her in America. She ran well enough when she was 3rd of 9 behind Buy Sell Hold at Churchill Downs. That was back in May on fast ground. So she's going to get fast ground tomorrow afternoon, which is certainly going to suit her. And as we say, he's got a great strike record here at the Royal Meeting as Wesley Ward. So plenty of ticks in boxes for McKerrin. But Fahey, he proved his worth yesterday with Ribchester. And I think tomorrow we could possibly have another Northern Train winner in the opening race, because we're well represented, to be fair. Havana Gray's an interesting one from the Carl Burt Yard. That one ran really well when winning last time out at Sandown when it beat Frozen Angel. So the good form there for Havana Gray. You've got It Don't Come Easy from the Richard Fahey Yard that was fourth at York on debut, then stepped up to win next time out. And then you've got the dual winner, Santre, trained in Moulton by Decro Carroll. And again, this horse won at York, carrying a penalty. Never an easy task to do. Slight concern on that occasion, it was soft going. Going to encounter completely different underground conditions tomorrow. But it would be great story tale, this, if this can win, because small yard, again, he's done no wrong. I personally thought they'd have had a for sale sign up on him after that York success.
Yeah,
that's not been the case, I don't think. But for me, I'm going to take a Northern horse to win it. Havana Gray, It Don't Come Easy. Santre, if you want me to go down to one, it would be Santre.
Santre, the selection for Pimmy then in the Norfolk, the 2:30, the first race on the card on the Thursday. The second race is the 3:05 of the Hampton Court Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and a quarter. And the betting is headed by joint favourites at the time recording this, Ben Battle and Mirage Dancer, both 4-1. It's 5-1 Irish Correspondence. Order of the Garter is 7-1, 8-1 Tam Leak, 11-1 Bay of Poets, Taj Mahal is 12-1 and 16-1, or bigger prices for the others. Quite an open race again here, Pimmy. Who would you side with in the Hampton Court?
Well, you've got your Ben Batty, who was fifth in the Derby, haven't you? But he's beaten fair and square on that occasion behind Wings of Eagles. And again, whether he's going to be good enough remains to be seen. Obviously, steps back 2 furlongs, which may well help his cause. And I question Saeed Bin Saror ability at the moment, because his horses haven't been running particularly well. And who knows whether this one can get him on the score sheet for the Royal Meeting. I thought Irish Correspondent was obviously very interesting. Again, ran behind Churchill at the Curragh over a mile in that Group 1 race there. And I thought he ran really well, kept on going. I think the step up to a mile and two should well suit him, and more than likely looks a little bit of value for you there. And then Order of the Garter. Well, we can't leave Aidan O'Brien out of the equation, I don't think. Obviously, last time we saw him was in a Group 1 at Shanty when he was 6 of 12, but not beaten far. Only 2¾ lengths behind Bramatot. And I think, again, he could be a major player in the Hampton Court tomorrow. So, 3 against the field, possibly. Mirage Dancer for me, again, one of your joint favourites, has a little bit to find. But the beauty about him is he's from a stable that can certainly find plenty of improvement when they're fairly unexposed, as Mirage Dancer is. So, a very competitive Hampton Court Stakes. Of the 3 or 4 I've spoke about, I think I'm going to side with Irish Correspondent.
Irish Correspondent, then the pick for Pimmy. It's a 5-1 chance at the time of recording this. On to the third race on the Thursday, the 3:40. This is the Ribblesdale, which is a Fillies Group 2 over a mile and a half. We have the market headed by Alluringly and Maury at the time of recording this. 3-1 joint favourites. Coronet is 13-2, 8-1 Hartford Dancer. Naughty or Nice is 9-1, 10-1 Astronomy's Choice, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Personally, I'm quite interested to see how Maury gets on here, Pimmy, because she's by Frankel, she's out of midday, bred, comes here on the back of 2 successes. Can she step up to this Group 2 level and continue her progression?
Well, with a pedigree like that, she should be the queen, shouldn't she?
Yeah.
Outstanding pedigree. And, I mean, she is with the right man in the shape of Sir Michael Stout, because he will quietly bring her along, as he has done. She was in good order when she won over a mile and two in her listed filly stakes at Goodwood last time out. And there could be an awful lot more to come from her. And she's official rating of 93. Well, I think that will get completely blown out of the water tomorrow afternoon. She's sure to be very, very difficult to oppose. As I say, she has a little bit to find, but her profile is very, very progressive.
Is she the pick for you then?
She is the pick simply because there might be an awful lot more to come from her. Whereas Alluringly, who ran really well behind Enable in the Oaks, you know, it's tough, consistent, but been there, done it, and got the T-shirt, so to speak. I think, what was the other one that was pretty short in the betting? Coronet. The John Gosden runner, who again was running the Oaks and finished behind Enable when plugged on inside that final furlong at Epsom last time out. So again, she's possibly a little bit to find, but hopefully taking the step forward into to Group 2 status tomorrow afternoon should not be a step too far for Morrie.
Morrie then, the selection in the 3:40. That's the third race on the card, and the final race we look at is the 4:20, the feature race on day number 3, the Ascot Gold Cup. It's a Group 1 over 2.5 miles. The market headed by last year's winner Order of St George, coming back for another go at 5-6 at the top of the market. Simple Versus 15-2, Big Orange 8-1, Sheikh Zayed Road 11-1, 12-1 for Torcidor, 14s bar those. Some real quality staying performers in here. I mean, real good renewal of the Ascot Gold Cup. Can Order of St George defend his crown?
That's the thing we've got to ask ourselves. Can he defend his crown? As we speak now, we've had one day of the Royal Meeting, and you look on the score sheet, no AP O'Brien. Mm. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Who would have thought that? But that was the case. But again, stat for you, young fella. 4 from 41 in the last 2 weeks for Aidan O'Brien.
Really?
And he had two favourites obviously beaten on day one of the Royal Meeting. Mm. So we'll see how day two fares for him. That would be a slight concern if day two doesn't prove profitable for him. The Order of St George, whether there is just a little bit of an issue with the camp at Ballydoyle. But he's the best horse in the race. There's no two ways about it. And the great thing is about it is at 5-6, after that you've got value.
Yes.
So you can back each way after that. Simple Verse, a great filly who ran really well in defeat behind Dartmouth at York. That was in a Group 2 in May. Obviously, she's a big player. Big Orange is a top-class animal who will really relish the 2.5 miles and that uphill finish. James Doyle doing the steering there with Frankie out injured. And the other one I thought could be interesting is Harbour Law, who, you know, he won the St Ledger last year. He's just had one run so far this season. And again, he was a long way behind Sweet Selection on that occasion. But I can forgive him a little bit that. We'll forgive him that. And hopefully that he can put that run 50 days ago behind him and go forward again.
All right, so take a bit of a chance on an each-way angle. Would he be the one?
Well, the two I'd take each way would be him at 25-1, as we record, and also Big Orange at 8-1. But I think it's Order of St George's to lose, not to win.
Yes, yeah, if he turns up on form, he's got, obviously, form from this race last year, was third in the arc. I don't think many of these could manage that.
No, they wouldn't manage that, no.
He's got a real good turn of foot for a stayer as well.
Well, exactly. If he can win a Gold Cup and then run third in an arc, you're very versatile, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And it means you have lots of ability.
Mm. We'll find out how he gets on the Thursday, of course. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck with your selections there and enjoy day 3 of Royal Ascot.
Can't wait.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott then on the Thursday. His selections are Santry in the opening race. In the 3:05, it was Irish Correspondent. In the 3:40, going with the beautifully bred Morrie. And in the 4:20, Order of St George, the one to beat if he turns up on form. But Pimmy going for a couple against the field. He's with Big Orange, each way at 8-1. And at a big price, Harbour Law at 25-1. That's the thoughts of Chris Pimlott then. As promised, let's hear from Sir Anthony McCoy in the company of Andrew Thornton. Here are their picks on day 3 of Royal Ascot.
The Norfolk is the first race on day 3 of Royal Ascot. I like Consequences. Finished just behind Santry on its first run. That was on soft ground. Good to firm will suit it an awful lot better. AP?
Yeah, it's a very open Norfolk. Plenty of horses in here that have won. Santry of Dacton Cars has won. Havana Grey, I really like. He won last time in the National Stakes at Sandown. That was pretty good form. McCarron of Wesley Wards will definitely have plenty of followers. He was third last time, only got beaten a nose and neck in Churchill Downs. He won over 4.5 furlongs in Keelan the time before. He's a very fast horse. I'm going to go for Havana Grey to win the first.
Hampton Court Stakes, second race on the card. I'm a big fan of Mirage Dancer, Sir Michael Stout. Great record at Royal Ascot. Fourth in the D Stakes behind Prince of Moa. AP?
I like Godolphin's two runners here. Bay of Poets wasn't finished seventh in the French Derby, but wasn't beaten that far. And Ben Battle, the horse of the other horse of theirs that he ran in the Epsom Derby, he was a long way back. I think he'll be happier drop back and trip. He's dropping in class as well. I think Ben Battle will take a lot of beating here.
The Ribblesdale is the third race on the card for fillies. I'm a big fan of Aidan O'Brien's alluringly, finished third to Enable in the Oaks at Epsom. AP?
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid form. You know, she'd been second the time before at Chester to Enable, who won the Oaks. Coronet is another one that ran the Epsom Oaks. She wasn't far behind alluringly either. But I like Murray of Sir Michael Stouts. I shouldn't think there'll be a better bred filly all week run that Ascot. She's out of the brilliant Midday by Frankel. She has progressed. She was a good winner of a listed race last time at Goodwood. I think she'll take a lot of beating here.
Fourth race on the card is the Ascot Gold Cup. Cracking renewal. Good to see some older horses coming back year after year. I like Sheikh Zayed Road here. It's an each-way price. Likes fast ground. I think worth taking on Order of St. George. AP?
Yeah, Sheikh Zayed Road is a very solid horse, no doubt. But I can't get away from the fact that Order of St. George won here last year. He went on to finish third in the Arc. You know, I don't think any of the rest of them could do that. Big Orange is most likely to make the run. He made it last time in Sandown and was pretty progressive there. And I think that'll suit Order of St. George. I think coming off a good fast pace, which he's likely to get here, I think Order of St. George is a good thing.
Final race on the card at Royal Ascot on day three is the King George V Stakes. I like Mr. Manduro for Mark Johnson. I think a mile and a half will suit Sylvester D'Souza on board. Hey, Pete?
Yeah, Aidan O'Brien has a couple of runners here, Andrew. It's a race that he's never won before, but Holmesman looks the better of the two of them. He won a Group 3 at the Curragh last time. I think he's had a good chance, but Master Singer stood out for me. He's only had the three runs, but he won a maiden by 16 lengths in Newcastle. Not many horses have ever done that on the flat. I'll tell you one thing, he won't win 16 lengths in Ascot, but hopefully he'll win.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andrew Thornton and Sir Anthony McCoy there then from Ascot. We heard from Chris Pimlott as well. Really looking forward to day three of Royal Ascot. More spectacular action to come from the Royal meeting. Every race at Royal Ascot is a two clear race as well. If you don't know what that means, if you back a winner and it wins by two or more lengths, then you get 15% on top of your winnings as a free bet as well, up to £100. And you'll be able to hear it all live as well on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Ross Briley and Tom Morley. So do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. Good luck if you're having a bet on the Thursday, and enjoy Thursday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.